I'm a foodie and I enjoy learning about the process that brings great foods and beverages from idea to the table. And then I like tasting them and learning the nuances of what creates the most significant tastes, from coffee to cheese to distilled beverages. I did a tequila tasting in Mexico and recently bourbon, Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It really impressed me from the story to the taste. I grew up in Kentucky where horse racing and bourbon are famous, and I got introduced to Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It's produced by Heaven Hill Distillery, which has been and still remains family-owned since 1935, and I'm impressed with the bourbon's ultra-rich, smooth taste, and right on the bottle, it states that this bourbon is 7 years old, which is actually three times longer than what's required to be certified as bottled in bond. I feel with beverages, the longer the prep, the better the taste. Being a bottled in bond product means it must pass a list of seven requirements that set the standard for this quality bourbon. So look for it at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely and drink wisely.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Ziglar Inspire Podcast.
Ziglar Inspire Podcast.
Welcome to Zig Ziglar's Inspire Podcast. This is Jill Tibbles, and I'm in the studio today with Tom Ziglar. That's Zig's son. He's the CEO of the Ziglar Inc. And we were discussing the podcast today, and it's going to be about voice inflection. And Tom said he had some funny stories, and I said, oh, I bet our listeners would like to hear them. So we drag him in here. Tom, tell me what you can remember about your dad and voice inflection.
Oh, I've got lots of stories. But first, I want to say it's good to see you here, Jill. For all our listeners, Jill's office is down in Austin, and our headquarters is in Plano, just outside of Dallas. So she's actually up in our studios today. We are glad she's with us. You know, it's funny, when I was a child, and some people would say last week, but it was actually about 35, 40 years ago, we would go to church every Sunday. And some Sundays, being a youngster, I'd say, Dad, do we have to go to church today? And he would look at me and he'd say, no, son, we get to go to church today. And so, but he would use it with a lot of voice inflection, like, we get to go to church today, trying to make it exciting.
And did you buy it?
I bought it. And,
there you go.
And, you know, it's interesting because in voice inflection, it's a lot of what you say, but it's even more of how you say it. And so today on the way to school, my daughter Alexandra, who's 14, she was having kind of a bad morning, and everything I asked her, she was unhappy with. And I said, you know, why don't, she said, I said, what's wrong? And she said, I don't feel good. And I said, well, it's probably just allergies, it's windy and da 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 da. I said, why don't you start telling yourself that you feel fine, you're feeling better? And she said, you know, I'll do that, because on the airplane, on a recent trip, she was feeling kind of sick, and she talked herself into feeling better, and she did. So not only does voice inflection help you communicate, but it's also self-talk. It can help you get a better attitude or perspective of where you are. So you can have voice inflection in your mind as well as when you're speaking to someone.
That reminds me, when you were talking about when Zig used that for you as a kid, that whenever I work with people on presentation skills and they'll start talking and they're very monotone and they're going through their presentation, and I'll talk to them about putting some enthusiasm into their voice, and they'll say, but I'm trying to be professional. And I think that's funny how when we're talking with kids, we tend to be very animated in our voice. And when we're reading books to them when they were little, we were animated in our voice. But when we think of that idea of being in business and being professional, we don't use our voice very well. So that's one of the things that, I have appreciated learning from Zig, is that you still can be very professional, but using your voice is a great way to use that. Just have that enthusiasm in there.
Yeah, you know, I've seen another application. It's kind of a technological application, but, you know, I'm on Twitter, and my Twitter name is at Tom Ziglar, and I talk about all things.
And you tweet?
I tweet, yeah, all things Ziglar. And it's great to quote Dad on Twitter because it's like he wrote every quote to be 140 characters or less.
He was a man ahead of his time.
Yeah. And when you tweet, you've got to be very thoughtful about how you say something because you don't have a lot of room to say it in. And so you can actually see people who are more effective in this medium putting, you know, the technological version of voice inflection into their short messages. And one of my favorite short messages that is a Zig quote is, selling is a transference of feeling. Mm-hmm. And when you feel really strong about something, you get voice inflection naturally.
Right.
Right. So that's a key. You know, if you want to convey a message, you've got to have feeling in the conveyance of that message. And so that's a great way to get voice inflection. It's just to let those feelings come out, especially in a sales process or when you're leading a group or trying to get an organization to do something. You've got to show passion for that.
Have you seen that new show out? It's called Lie to Me.
Yes.
I think it's on Fox. One of the things I like about that show, I've actually only watched it a couple of times, but that they look at all the nuances of your face and your voice, and then they pop up all the current people, you know, that are out in the world right now. And so I was thinking to myself, I wonder how people talk about how President Obama is so inspiring and how he has such great communication skills. And I wonder if any of that has to do with how he uses his voice. So the last time I was listening to him, he's been on the news, obviously, quite a lot lately, and how he's really trying to persuade our country to move past this economic crisis, to go out and to spend money, you know, to stimulate the economy. He was really using his voice to have that impassioned plea. Have you noticed that with anybody?
Yeah. Boy, we need to pray for President Obama. I just can't imagine the job that he has. I mean, anybody who wants that job, is they automatically get respect. Just for wanting that job. But I tell you, you know, when he's out and he's been criticized, I think unfairly, for using teleprompters and things like that, he literally has to absorb and translate, you know, dozens and dozens of messages every day. And he is his best when he can just focus in and communicate what he's passionate about. So he's very effective when he does that. So I think that's about all the time we have for this.
Okay.
And let's go ahead and let's turn it over to Blake.
Thanks, Tom and Jill. It sure is a fun treat to have both of you on the show today. And as I like to say here in Texas, I want to welcome all y'all to the development portion of the Ziglar Inspire podcast. Get ready to have some fun with me as we listen to Mr. Ziglar coach us how to use our voices better. Zig is going to mention the benefits of using a recorder to tape ourselves and listen back. Of course, we're not going to get caught up in the technology because the idea is to record ourselves and hear how we sound to our prospects. Let's grow together and listen to Mr. Ziglar, and I'll be back in a few minutes.
Now, in selling somebody, if you can make that customer start thinking, see, if you are selling a legitimate product at a legitimate price and it is in their best interest to buy, then you're making them think along those identical lines. Yes, voice inflection can play a tremendous role in selling. It means that you're selling on the offense instead of the defense. As Charlie Cullen said, you are selling audaciously. You are challenging the prospect. Now, I want to say something here, as I've said before. In my judgment, the single most important skill you need to concentrate on is the learning of the use of your voice. I want to emphasize this is simple, but it is not easy. It's going to be a little embarrassing and challenging to sit there by yourself talking into that cassette player, making like a movie star or an actor somewhere or a recording artist. But my friend, the performance and the playing field of your empty room there, if you handle it properly, it will improve your performance much, much, much in front of the prospect. I challenge you to get your cassette out, and you do exactly what I'm talking about. You need to do it a dozen times, even 20 to 30 times, to get that voice inflection exactly right. Is it trouble? Yes. Is it work? Yes. Is it worth it? You betcha. It's worth every bit of it. Now, suppose that the prospect has simply said to you, it seems to me that the price is a little out of line. Now, please understand one thing. There are a lot of prospects who, for whatever reason, will automatically say the price is too high. Makes no difference what it is. They think that puts them in a better position to negotiate a better price or to get a better deal in some way, form, or fashion from you. And so they automatically are going to say something about the price being a little too high. What you need to do is find out if price really is the problem or is there another issue. My friend John Hammond has successfully handled literally thousands of objections of this nature. And what he does is very simple. He looks at the prospect and says, if there were a way I could show you that the price is more than fair and the product is worth every dime we're asking, would you go ahead and take advantage of our offer today? Now, what you're going to do is find out, is price the objection or is there something else? This forces the prospect to make a commitment based on price when his real objection might be color, style, neighborhood, or something else you could and should, even must, identify. If this is the situation, his response is going to be, well, no, not really. Price is not really the problem. And when he says that, then you can simply say, then there must be some other reason you're hesitating. Would you mind if I ask what that reason might be? A superb procedure for smoking out the real objection. Price is too high. Let me ask you a question, Mr. Prospect. Do you like the product? Notice again all the questions we're asking. Do you like the product? Well, yes, I like it, but it says that the price is high. Lower your voice, look your prospect right in the eye, and I'll say this so many times throughout the series, look the prospect in the eye. That's one of the reasons as a salesperson, unless it's absolutely dazzlingly bright sunshine, you're out on the desert somewhere, you must never have on sunglasses. That prospect needs to clearly see those eyeballs. Whether it is fact or fiction, most people have been taught that if he won't look in the eye, he ain't honest. How many of you have ever heard that? I don't like that guy. Wouldn't look me in the eye. Well, my experience has been that the greatest con men of all time, I mean the smoothest talking rascals I have ever seen, could look you dead center with those baby blue eyes and just charm you out of your last buck. And they never varied at all. I mean, they looked you dead center. But most people agree that they don't trust those who will not look them in the eye. And so if you can't see their eyes, then the tendency not to trust is much greater. Among other things, they might think you're on drugs, you know, and that's the reason that you need to have those eyeballs where they can see. So anyhow, the prospect has said, you've asked them if they like the product, and they say, yeah, I like the product, but the price is too high. Then you lower your voice, you look at him and say, wouldn't you agree, Mr. Prospect, that it is difficult to pay too much for something you really like?
Thankfully, the days of building a business website, then having this massive endeavor to integrate an online store are gone. Today, Shopify has fixed all that. I had one business where we actually built the entire website on Shopify's platform. So whether you're just starting out or you're selling $1 million of product already, Shopify is just the industry leader. It works the same for physical products or online and digital, and Shopify is just hands down the best out there. Most importantly, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. It's 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Getting people to buy is not that hard, at least to the buying point, but getting them to actually give their payment info is, and Shopify is king in that department. They also have top tier customer service, which I think is critical. You can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Kevin. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Kevin to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Kevin. Most of today, you will be indoors, likely your home or your office. I am as well. Even with my treks out into the woods, I spend a lot of time inside. And we're going to take about 20,000 breaths. According to the EPA, the indoor air is 2 to 5 times more polluted than the outdoor air, sometimes up to 100 times more polluted. At my studio, we have heat being forced through old ducts. I walk on carpet full of years of junk. no idea what's floating in the air that I'm taking constant gulps of. The solution is an air purifier, and Air Doctor is just the best. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold, bacteria, viruses. They do it so your lungs don't have to. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Go to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Kevin, and depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off or up to $300 off. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So to get this special offer, go to airdoctorpro.com. Use promo code Kevin. AirDoctorPro.com, promo code Kevin. Friends, I'm pretty candid about my lack of financial prowess. Money and numbers are fairly Greek to me, so I need a lot of guidance. One of my closest friends is a wildly successful wealth manager, and I'm working on some financial literacy and just continually seeking guidance. So I ask you to check out YahooFinance.com. Nobody knows it all, and Yahoo Finance is an incredible resource for the rookies like me or the seasoned investors. You know, before my dad passed away recently, Dave Ramsey and his wife Sharon flew down to visit. We all got to spend a day together, and I was at YahooFinance.com just now. I saw multiple news flashes from Dave and other people that you respect, and they're hitting so many of the hottest areas in finance today. So it's a place to get a snapshot of all aspects of your financial interests, and if you have them, your portfolios. I hadn't realized Yahoo Finance is the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. So for your comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. One more time. YahooFinance.com.
Now that's a pretty good question. And if you're selling a low ticket item, cosmetics, brushes, necktie, wallet, items, you know, that are not a significant purchase in itself, a single item, a lot of times that one question is enough. But if you're selling a lifetime insurance program, or if you're selling a fancy luxury automobile, or if you're selling a home at $200,000, you're going to have to come up with more than that. A lot of times say, yeah, well, I see what you mean, but yeah, I think you can pay too much for something, even if you really do like it. I'd like to have a Cadillac, but I'm not going to give you $50,000 for one. But what you've done is significant because you have started that individual to thinking. Now, this brings us right back to something important. We call it the fear of loss close. Again, remember that the fear of loss is greater than the desire for gain. You need to establish in that prospect's mind the fact that he's safe in dealing with you, that he's not going to lose. And for him, a loss could either be money or it could be embarrassment, a loss of face. He's not going to lose by buying from you. But he will lose product benefits if he doesn't buy from you. So one effective way to do this is simply to say, Mr. Prospect, let me point out that you're going to be concerned about price only one time. That's when you buy. But you're going to be concerned with quality during the entire lifetime of the product. Then you lower your voice, look him right in the eye again, and say, wouldn't you agree that it's better to invest a little more than you had planned instead of a little less than you should? That is a good question. Wouldn't you agree that it's better to invest a little more than you had planned instead of a little less than you should? You see, if you invest a little more than you had planned, all you're talking about is pennies. If you invest less than you should and the product will not do what you had wanted it to do, then you literally lose everything. A little more than you had planned instead of a little less than you should. John Ruskin made an astute observation about price. It's unwise to pay too little. When you pay too much, you lose a little money. That's all. When you pay too little, you sometimes lose everything because the thing you bought was incapable of doing what it was bought to do. The common law of business balance prohibits paying a little and getting a lot. It can't be done. If you deal with the lowest bidder, it is well to add something for the risk you run. And if you do that, then you will have enough to pay for something better. That makes sense, doesn't it? Let me tell you why I encourage people to read and study so much. The question which I've used, when you agree it's better to pay a little more than you'd planned, that was initiated by the John Ruskin statement. Had I not read what John Ruskin said, then the other thing would never have come to mind. Better to pay a little more. Let me see if we can establish that in this way. How many of you ladies here today have got some cosmetics at home in a drawer? They've been there about a year. The jars are tightly sealed or the lids are tightly clamped. You're not using them. You know perfectly good and well you are never going to use them. But they're still good. And it would be wasteful, sinful, to take those cosmetics out and throw them away. You're not about to do that. What you are going to do is wait another year. And at the end of the next year, they then will be dried out, won't be useful for anybody, and now you can throw them away with a clear conscience. All the girls are snickering. Ladies, here's the question. Wouldn't it have been better to have paid or invested a little more than you had planned instead of a little less as you did? As it is, you have lost everything. That is, unless you now take those cosmetics down to the Salvation Army or some other charitable organization and donate to them so they can be used and you can get a tax write-off as a result of it. And the recipient wins and you win and everybody wins and they're happy as a result of it. My good friend, the late Dick Gardner, put it this way. Why settle for the get-by when in the long run the good cost less? That's a powerful statement.
What are you doing daily to sharpen your skills as a professional salesperson? Are you consistently growing, stretching, and learning your craft? To be competitive, we have to stay sharp. I want you to come back next week and join us and take somebody with you as we continue to learn and grow together. Until then, I'm Blake Lindsay, encouraging you to live your life to the fullest.
Ziggler. Ziggler. Inspiring true performance.